Hello and welcome to the first episode of the second season of the Smart Witch podcast. And thank you so much for joining me wherever you are and whatever's going on with you and for you right now. I just hope that you are listening to this from a space of peace, from a space of physical and emotional wellness, and that you are feeling good as you possibly can with whatever unique set of circumstances you're working through right now. And I want to start off by just saying I have really missed you, and I've taken quite a while away from the podcast. I have been here. I've recorded a couple episodes in the last couple months, but none of them felt right to release. So maybe I'll release them later. Maybe they're topics that we're just not meant to cover right now, but I have been recording content. I just haven't felt right about releasing it. So, but just know that I've been here, even though I've been a little bit silent. I haven't forgotten about you. I have been here behind the scenes creating content, but I'm really excited to start a new season of the podcast. And I don't know how regularly I will be creating new content. That's something that I really have to feel my way through. Life for me has really changed in the last year. I think honestly that really could be said for probably everyone. I think the last year was really transformational for everybody in different ways. But for me personally, I first of all have moved literally since the last podcast episode I sent out, which I think was literally last summer. And I think at that point I was looking for a new place to live and trying to manifest that. But since then I have successfully manifested the most wonderful home where I now live with my amazing partner. And we are very happy. We actually have adopted another cat. So I have two cat babies now, which has been a really joyful and exciting change, although certainly challenging at times. I think it's always difficult introducing a new member of the household to, your other household members. So that's what we've been working through. And that's just on top of all the other life stuff. It's just been a crazy year for the better and, at times not so much, but here I am and I'm really glad that you're here with me. And I just want to say, once again, thank you for your patience and thank you for your presence. Thank you for being here and listening to this episode. So this episode is actually going to be a little bit different. So today is actually the full moon in Leo at the time of my recording and at the time of my releasing this episode. And so typically, if you are in the community, you know that I send out a newsletter twice a month, once every 2 weeks. And I always correspond it to the full and new moons every month. So typically I would be sending out a newsletter covering all this content that we're going to go through today in the podcast, but I am currently actually a little bit backed up on birth charts. So I wanted to take the second half of winter off to just sort of catch up on that and focus on that in terms of writing. But I really didn't want to miss out on having these astrological conversations because we have a lot going on specifically over the next 2 weeks before we have our new moon rather in Pisces. I think it's March 2nd that falls. So I really want to cover the astro content. I didn't want to miss out on having that discussion with you. And then I also did pull a card, which we're going to talk about today as well through the lens of the astrology of today and the next 2 weeks. Now, if you're a little behind, if you're not familiar with what I'm talking about, I do just want to say that I send out it used to be a weekly newsletter, so that's why I keep saying that. I send out a bi-weekly newsletter, so it goes out every 2 weeks, once again, on every new and full moon, and then I also send out 8 additional newsletters every year, 8-ish, I should say, one for each of the Sabbats every year, but of course, if that falls a little close to the newer full moon, then usually I'll just combine them into the same newsletter. But basically, that's just a way that we can keep in touch, and in the newsletters, I talk about the astrology for the next 2 week window period, along with a tarot card that I pull for that period of time. And then I also will sometimes publish ritual ideas and spells or crystal recommendations. I publish a gratitude list sometimes in there. So it's really just basically a little high vibe email for you that is hopefully serving as a guide for your full new moon and Sabbat experiences. So that's really what it's meant to do, especially in these these times, I hope, and my intention is that it really anchors you into the wheel of the year, which is, of course, ever turning. So that's what we do. And again, this podcast episode is kind of the substitution for that email version. And I've actually gotten some requests too that I continue to do a verbal version. So like I've had people reach out and say that though they appreciate reading the newsletter over coffee, they would also really enjoy a verbal version that is kind of goes along with it, where I just go over that content through the podcast, and that way they can kind of play it when they're driving or when they're cooking or when they're taking a shower, so that they can not only read it over coffee, and that's kind of a very intentional experience, but they also like the idea of being able to hear it while they're possibly even doing something else. And I would love your feedback. If this is something that you guys would really appreciate, I would be willing to do that. I guess it just in theory sounded a little bit repetitive, but I would absolutely be willing to do that if it's that's something that the community would enjoy. So please let me know if that's something that you want. And before we get into today's episode content, I also just want to say, as always, that I welcome your questions and your feedback, especially now that we're beginning a new season of the podcast. I'm really curious about what you guys would like to talk about, if you have any topics you'd like me to cover or specific questions you'd like me to ask. I would love to hear from you, so you can email me at thesmartwitchpodcast@gmail.com. It's pretty straightforward. And I'm pretty good about responding to all the emails I get. I can't necessarily guarantee that we will go over your topic necessarily, especially if I think it's a question that either is just a little too niche or a little too specific or even advanced. I might just, respond. And I can usually, even if I can't necessarily speak effectively to the topic, I can usually recommend some other teachers for you to look into. So please do feel free to shoot me an email with your questions. Obviously, as long as it's pertaining to the content that we cover here, which I think you know is tarot, astrology, witchcraft, basically anything that falls into that umbrella, I'm usually pretty qualified to speak on. So I would love your questions, your comments, your feedback, and I hope that you do continue to feel that this is a really open space. And I really, you guys bring the magic by telling me what you want and by giving me your feedback. So that's really something that is important to me. But without further ado, I would like to get into the newsletter, the podcast episode for today, which is essentially just that verbal newsletter. So we're going to go through the astrology starting with today for the next 2-week period, and then we're going to talk about the tarot card that I pulled. And I also have a couple of crystal recommendations for you that specifically are really effective for support during the Leo full moon, which we have today. But of course, every major esbit, whether it's a new or full moon, is kind of strong for the week. So usually it's like the 2 to 3 days before the full moon, we can start to feel that energy, especially if you have a lot of Cancer in your birth chart or if you're just a moon sensitive person. And then a couple days after the full moon, though the energy begins winding down, again, it's still really prominent and we can still really feel that. So we're going to be in this energy for the week. So it does peak today. So we have our full moon in the sign of Leo. And also happening today, by the way, is the Venus-Mars conjunction, which is going to be, once again, relevant actually all month. And there's actually another exact conjunction between the two cosmic lovers, which happens early March. I believe March 4th is the exact date. So again, this is an energy that peaks. It's actually exact, I think, tomorrow, but it's really strong today. Will continue to be really strong, really, through February. And then, again, it forms a second exact conjunction on one of the first days of March, where it will then continue to take us through the first half of March. So this is really an energy that we'll be experiencing until spring. So let's first, though, talk about the full moon in Leo. So the full moon in Leo is always a fantastic time for any kind of a love spell, because Leo rules the fifth house of the birth chart. And the fifth house, even though we tend to think of the seventh and the eighth houses when we're talking about romance, partnership, erotic love, because the eighth house certainly is not relationships, but it does speak, at least to some extent, on our attitudes toward sex, toward intimacy, toward our willingness to really share ourselves with another person and another being and to merge our energies. So it's not really relationships, but it's a little bit more of the esoteric side of relationships. And the seventh house is more the practical side of relationships. And the seventh house we look to not just for romantic unions, but for one-on-one friendships, business collaborations, and partnerships. So it actually has kind of a very practical no-nonsense aspect. It's not like a super romantic house necessarily, and that's ruled by Libra. The eighth house is ruled by Scorpio. So Leo rules the fifth house, and the fifth house is kind of one in that trifecta that we look at as astrologers when we're looking for someone's romantic energy and how they interact with the idea of romantic love in both theory and practice. So the fifth house, though, really deals with, I think, what most of us think of as relationships and love. So again, whereas the seventh house is more just how we relate from a kind of a practical standpoint, how we have one-on-one relationships psychologically, that's the seventh house. Whereas the eighth house is more of the kind of willingness to share ourselves with someone else. And the fifth house is like more the fun side. It's the play element of love and romance and erotica. It's the fun, it's the fling, it's the flirtation, it's the getting ready for a date, it's the sex that may happen after the date, it's the feeling in your stomach, it's the big grand gestures, it's the romantic, advances. So really the fifth house is where we really can see a lot of romantic energy in an individual's nature or not, depending on how that house is stimulated and the house in which it falls. But again, Leo, a lot of people don't necessarily think of in this way, but Leo is one of the most romantic signs of the zodiac. And so to have a full moon in Leo is always kind of romantic. It always has potential for romance to blossom. And typically when we experience a full moon, we're not necessarily thinking about new beginnings. Obviously that would be more of the territory of the new moon, which is exactly 2 weeks prior. But a full moon in Leo, I like to think, and there's really different ways you can think about it, because some astrologers say that full moons are pretty strictly about closure and the end of a cycle. But you can also look at a full moon as the lunar energy reaching its fullness, and it's a culmination point, and it's a moment of abundance, and it's a moment of fullness. And in that regard, I actually think of full moons as being a really powerful opportunity for manifestation. And obviously, I think if you're a practicing witch, you probably feel the same way, because a lot of times we do conduct our manifestation spell work on the night of a full moon, although we can also do that big intention setting on the new moon as well, just kind of depending on the nature of the manifestation, on the full moon or new moon in particular, what sign they fall in, the other aspects astrologically that are going on, whether it's an eclipse or not, all of this factors, of course. But I think, and I see astrologically, that this full moon today is really powerful. If you're looking to manifest, again, not necessarily a relationship, not necessarily anything super specific that you have to define, but if you're just looking to manifest more fun, more romance, more adventure, more flirting, more butterflies, more play, then this is a really powerful moon for you to work with and start to set those intentions and do that spell work. So again, this is really amplified by the fact that we have the conjunction happening exact tomorrow between Mars and Venus. So as you probably know, it's kind of basic Greek mythology, Mars or Aries and Venus or Aphrodite are kind of the cosmic lovers. And they're lovers in the very erotic sense of the word. Aphrodite is kind of femininity personified in the form of this beautiful Greek goddess. She's not just kind of the ruler of love and sex and erotic love. That's often how she's simplified, and that's an unfortunate side effect of the patriarchal takeover of Greco-Roman mythology. But she's also the goddess of creativity. So she's a lot of other things. I always like to say that and just remind everyone that, you know, Aphrodite Venus is a lot more complicated than just being the goddess of like love and sex. But she certainly is that as well. And then Aries Mars is the very masculine god of, you know, again, he's often simplified as the god of war. And there's truth to that as well. He certainly deals with those very primal root chakra instincts to fight or flight. He's fighting, he's fornicating, he is self-preservation, he's self-assertion. So it's a very fun kind of conjunction when we have this happening. It's extremely robust, it's extremely romantic, and it tends to be a relationship catalyst when Venus and Mars conjunct. So if you are someone who is unpartnered and you've had an annoying lack of any activity with regard to your dating and love life, first of all, obviously you're not the only one because we are in the middle of a global pandemic. Obviously that's worth naming. But much beyond that, because really that doesn't necessarily mean anything, right? Like me and my boyfriend met after lockdown. So people are still falling in love. People are still opening businesses. People are still having babies. People are still safely living their lives and starting beautiful new beginnings. So that's really not a reason that you can't or shouldn't be able to find love, but it is a reality, right? It's something that's part of our routine right now. But at the same time, you know, there's other things too, right? So like, we have our own limiting beliefs. We have our own reasons why we don't believe that this can work. Whatever's going on with you, whether it's internal or external, the Venus-Mars conjunction is a really powerful force to kind of draw you out of your shell a little bit. And it's a really powerful moment to take a look at your beliefs and your approach to dating, mating, romance in general, in theory and practice, and sort of reassess and take a look at your values and see what beliefs maybe are serving you and which ones maybe aren't. Maybe, for example, you have specific beliefs around what your type is, who you're willing to consider as a romantic prospect, how you assume you might meet your person, what exactly you're looking for may need a second look, because maybe you've been single for a year and what you thought you wanted a year ago isn't what you actually want now. So I really do invite you, you know, if you don't want to do a big love spell today, it would be a really powerful Venus-Mars conjunction ritual to just light a candle, anoint your body with some rose essential oil or another floral blend that you really like, and put pen to paper and just do some journaling around how you're feeling about manifesting love. Are you ready? Are you not ready? Why do you think you're ready or not ready? And again, just looking at your specific beliefs, seeing if you can uncover anything that may be blocking you from manifesting what you desire. And then again, refining an understanding of what exactly it is that you're looking for, because maybe you haven't thought about that or given yourself the space to question it in a while. So this is a really good time, again, especially if you are unpartnered, to kind of get that ball rolling and think about that. Now, if you are someone who's in a relationship, it's still very much a catalyst because, again, it can be a really steamy time if you're involved with a person or people. It can be a really romantic time and it can just bring people together. It can cause conflict, but for the most part, this is just a really, again, it's a robust relationship catalyst. It's a fantastic time for a love spell, and we haven't even talked about this yet, because Mars and Venus are conjunct in Capricorn right now, today. The second conjunction that we have in March will actually be in Aquarius. But Capricorn energy especially is fortifying. So if you are in a committed partnership, whether it's, you know, an open polyamorous relationship or a committed monogamous relationship, Capricorn energy fortifies. And so this conjunction, I would say, is actually especially beneficial to people who are in a partnership that is essentially aligned and is working. And it really has the potential to just fortify that connection. It's an astrologically conducive time to put energy toward fortifying or nurturing an existing connection. And again, if you are unpartnered and you're actively dating, then this is a powerful time to meet someone where there's real potential, where the relationship could really be something that doesn't only last, but it continues to build on itself. Capricorn, again, is a very earthy, fortifying energy, and it's a powerful energy for building something that really is going to stand the test of time. And again, not only will it just last and stand that test, but it will actually only improve with time. It will continue to build on itself and improve on itself and thrive over the course of time. And so that's really kind of a beautiful gift. It's actually even better that this conjunction is happening in the sign of Capricorn, which, by the way, is also a really sexy sign. I feel like Capricorn is often regarded as, you know, the stoic, icy career woman, or, you know, just a little bit of a cold energy, or if you're a male bodied, or, you know, if you're someone who identifies as more masculine, it can be, you know, the father time, but you're still kind of reclusive and hermity and wise, but maybe hard to get to know. And that's certainly, you know, part of it, I think. I always do say, and when I do birth charts, like, there's an aspect of Capricorn people, especially if you're a Capricorn sun, where you do value your clout and your accolades and your accomplishments and your reputation, typically, on some level, even if that's not something that you talk about. But at the same time, Capricorn is ruled by the horned god Pan, who obviously, you know, the goat is their talisman, or their animal totem, rather. And, you know, the Greek god Pan is all about that kind of animalistic, lusty expression. And that's very much a part of Capricorn energy as well. And it's a part of that nature. So again, it's a really powerful sign for this conjunction to fall. And the other thing I want to say about this conjunction too, is that Pluto also remains in close proximity to the Mars Venus conjunction. So he's not exactly in that conjunction, but Mars is currently in Capricorn, so he's right near these other two planets. They'll get a little bit of space between each other in time for the second conjunction that we have in March. But for this one, Pluto is hanging out right near them. And so that just intensifies this that much more. And sometimes people are a little scared of Pluto because, you know, Pluto is it's an intensifier. So anytime Pluto is involved in a configuration, we can expect to have, you know, a little bit of activation. There's an element that we're not casual about what's going on right now. But at the same time, in this particular instance, Pluto kind of fits right in. So again, we have all three of these planets in Capricorn, which really grounds and anchors and fortifies these energies, which otherwise can go a little bit rogue. And then to have Pluto kind of close specifically to Mars, which they have a huge affinity, Pluto and Mars, they're both more of the masculine signs, or I'm sorry, planets. And Pluto also has an affinity with Venus, because Pluto and Venus, again, like, Pluto is intimacy. Pluto is only scary if you're afraid of your depths and if you're afraid of the depths of other people. But Pluto channeled in a healthy way is self-exploration and the cultivation of really deep, profound intimacy. It's kind of, in a lot of ways, the opposite of what we just talked about with Leo energy, but in that regard, it complements some of the other astro at play today, because it brings a level of not just shallow, superficial flirtations, but again, with the Capricorn energy, something that could really potentially last. Not only does it provide those necessary butterflies and that playful, fun, erotic energy that we all want and deserve, but it also just adds that element of, wow, I feel really deeply seen and loved, and not just when I'm cute and when I'm wearing lipstick, but when I'm ugly, when I'm activated, when I'm, you know, not feeling like my best self, or when my shadow side comes out, this person still, even if they don't necessarily, you know, approve of it in the moment or enjoy it in the moment, they love me. And maybe not only in spite of my shadow, but maybe they even like my shadow and love it and accept it about me. So, you know, I love this Pluto involvement. It's not something that I'm mad about. It's actually, as I said, I think it enriches this configuration that much more. So again, all this to say, the astro for specifically today, which is February 16th, is extremely juicy for romance. And again, you know, this is not a fleeting energy. So if you're listening to this a little bit late, or you're listening to it, but it's the end of the day, don't be like, shit, I missed out on this window of time, because we have Mars and Venus conjunct exact again the first week of March. And really, again, this is an energy that's going to persist all month. So we're going to be riding this high, this erotic potential, through the rest of February and well into March. It's really going to take us into spring. So this is something that you can enjoy for the next 2 months. And again, the ritual I described of just kind of journaling, or if you want to do a love spell, just know that it is supercharged if you do it, not just today, not just this week, but anytime for the rest of the month, and especially around, again, shoot, I wish I had the exact date, but I believe it's March 4th or March 6th that we have this second exact conjunction between Mars and Venus. And again, this time it will be in Aquarius, which is a little bit of a different energy. It's not quite as grounded. It's not quite as fortifying, but it's still really fun, and it's going to bring some breakthroughs. So that's something to look forward to as well. But that's for another newsletter. Now, I do want to return, though, to the astrology of the full moon in Leo, because as I said, you know, this is a really powerful time for romance, for a love spell. It's also a really powerful time for a confidence spell, for a worthiness ritual. And, you know, ideally, this is a really good time to, you know, solidify a relationship, whether it's a relationship with another person or a relationship with yourself, via a bold declaration or celebration, or even like the exchanging of talismans in the form of exchanging rings or something like that. This is a really powerful window of time for that. But there is, as with every lunar event, there's kind of a shadow side to this. So first of all, I do want to say that the full moon in Leo today is actually square the nodes. So the nodes, the lunar nodes, actually just shifted from Gemini to Taurus. So the north node is in Taurus, the south node is in Scorpio, and that just happened a couple of weeks ago. So the full moon in Leo is forming a fixed square to the two nodes, which activates kind of destiny themes and indicates that we could find ourselves at a little bit of a crossroads today. And, you know, that's not necessarily a bad thing necessarily, but it is sort of adds a little bit of a heaviness, I would say, to the day, a sense of now or never, which isn't even necessarily true. We just may feel a sense of intensity, or like you have to choose, or that you're a little bit torn. And then the other influence that's also a little bit at play that's worth mentioning is, and this has been a while, so it's definitely starting to wind down, but we did have a couple weeks ago our Mercury-Pluto conjunction with Mercury in Capricorn. Now, Mercury has since ingressed back into Aquarius, but the two are still a little bit close together. Now, we actually had a series of three Mercury-Pluto conjunctions because Mercury went retrograde. So obviously that throws things off a little bit and made it so that Mercury and Pluto squared three different times. So that's kind of powerful. That's was kind of a defining energy, I would say, of the latter part of, you know, winter, or I guess I should say the former part of winter. So we're still kind of coming down from that. Again, it's over and done. It's not going to become any more intense. It's not an energy that we're moving into. But it is there in this full moon chart that Mercury and Pluto are a little bit close together. And the reason that that can have a particularly instigative effect with the Leo full moon is because Leo full moons can activate some of our egotism, right? It's a really powerful time, again, for cultivating a sense of healthy pride in oneself, for cultivating a really authentic, unshakable sense of confidence and worthiness. But it's also a time where we can find ourselves a little bit caught up in petty ego battles. And I don't mean to say petty as in to disregard it or say that it's not valid. But it's definitely a time where we can find ourselves feeling like our egos are just a little bit more sensitive. And to those that are not in the know, because obviously you're in the know because we're here talking about astrology, so you're aware. But for people that aren't even aware of the moment's astrology, where they're just kind of being influenced, people on the street are also feeling just like their egos are much more fragile than usual. So if you have any characters in your life, and I'm assuming and hoping that these are characters that you wouldn't even necessarily choose, like your neighbors, your coworkers, your, you know, family unit even, so people that you don't necessarily have the ability to physically distance yourself from at this time, and obviously that's within, you know, some of your control, but it's a much more nuanced conversation than just quitting your job, moving, you know, from one house to another, never speaking to your parent again. Like, obviously, you know, we understand that relationships are nuanced. But if you have people in your life that you know that they tend to have a very strong, sensitive ego to begin with, and this is something that, you know, they are known to experience, where they have, you know, prideful, egotistical needs to self-assert, that could be particularly strong today. So you just want to be a little bit cautious, not necessarily change your behavior, but just understand that that is the astro of the moment. And again, the Mercury-Pluto conjunction, it's not really an exact conjunction. Again, Mercury has ingressed into Aquarius, so there's definitely some space between them. But we're still feeling a little bit of that, and that can definitely introduce a level of seething. It can introduce a level of like paranoia almost, where, you know, someone could almost kind of snap and lose their shit and make up an ego bruise or battle that's not even there, you know, that wasn't even intended on the part of the other person in the communication, dynamic. So that's just something to think about. I'm not going to lie and say that this full moon is just all love and light. There is definitely a possibility of, as I said, just some power trips. Again, if you have people in your life, especially authority figures, whether they're bosses or landlords or even your local government figures, you know, this is definitely a time where we can find ourselves, or even again, finding ourselves getting caught up in like, is this really something that I should be upset about? Or am I just feeling like it's bothering me at the ego level? And I have to say too, that in a lot of spiritual spaces, we talk about ego like it's the worst thing ever, but the ego is extremely healthy. So I don't mean to say that if your ego is upset, that you're just being low vibe. That's totally not it. Because again, I feel like that's kind of a shamey language that we hear a lot in the metaphysical community. But it is important to check ourselves just for our own sake, because it will drive us nuts. And I have to say, this is something that I've actually been struggling with lately, because at work, you know, I, even with my partner, I was unpacking something the other day that happened at work with a coworker, where I felt, I absolutely just, my ego was pissed off about something, and it was kind of silly, and, you know, I'd otherwise had a beautiful day, and at least, you know, I was able to unpack it with someone that loves me and gain that clarity, but it absolutely is easy anytime to get caught up in something like that. So that's just something to check yourself on and, you know, just be wondering if really something is about you being authentic, or if it's about, you know, your ego is just being a little bit tender and a little bit sensitive. And obviously, you know, the full moon doesn't create sensitivities that weren't there prior. It may make them more glaring. So I'm not saying disregard it as just the full moon. Obviously, if there's problematic dynamics that emerge or problematic inner feelings that surface, these should be looked at and transmuted. But I am just saying to almost expect them as a possibility. So again, this full moon is fiery, it's fun, it's playful, it's big, it wants us to draw attention to ourselves in a really shameless way. It wants us to have fun. It wants us to re-engage with our creative energy and erotic energy. And really, the astro of the moment is, you know, pretty fun. But as I said, there is the potential for conflict, for interpersonal conflict. So that's something to just keep an eye out for. And the other thing I want to say too is, and again, this is exact tomorrow, the 17th, we have a Jupiter-Uranus sextile. So Jupiter is currently in Pisces, where Jupiter will remain until May, where he then retrogrades back into Aquarius until October. And now Jupiter just entered Pisces in late December. We had a little blip of Jupiter in Pisces last year, or earlier at the, well, yeah, it would have been last year, I guess, because we're in 2022. Just a little blip, and then Jupiter went back into Aquarius, where he remained for the rest pretty much of 2021 before re-entering Pisces at the very last minute, a few days before the new year. So we haven't had a long time of Jupiter in Pisces, which is something that a lot of astrologers had really been looking forward to. This is a really idealistic placement for Jupiter. It's a really expansive placement. It's really conducive for emotional healing and spirituality. So I think we're all looking forward to seeing how this will impact us all collectively. Because again, you know, Jupiter is not technically an outer planet, but it's one of the slower moving inner planets. It's actually the slowest moving inner planet. So it takes about a year for Jupiter to switch signs. So everyone born within the same 1 year period has the same Jupiter sign. So it's not a generational planet, but it's definitely not as close to home as Mercury, Venus, or Mars in terms of the signs changing. So again, we have this sextile between Jupiter and Uranus, which is really exciting. It's a really powerful moment to take a risk, to take a chance. That's really favorable right now. And again, we have, you know, Mercury gestation direct, Venus gestation direct. So the vibe for the last couple months has very much not been conducive to taking any kind of a risk or, you know, starting up any new ventures necessarily. Not that I'm one of those astrologers that says that life needs to be put on hold because Mercury is retrograde, but, you know, at the same time, it's more favorable to spend that period of time in reflection, contemplation mode than pioneering mode. Sorry, I'm just taking a sip of water. So the sextile between Jupiter and Uranus is a really good time to take a little bit of a chance and to take a risk. So that's kind of a fun energy. And again, it really complements the fieriness of the Leo full moon. And that's also just very much where we are, even on the wheel of the year. We just had in bulk, which is a fire festival. So it's all about tending to that inner flame and that inner fire. And that's something that I really want to invite you to do. Again, not just today, but over the course of the Venus-Mars conjunction, all of February and into March. So from there, we have on Friday the 18th, the Sun enters Pisces, actually a little bit early this year. And so this officially marks Pisces season and the solar return of anyone who has a Pisces sun. So happy birthday to all the wonderful Pisces people listening. And Pisces season is fun for everybody because it's a moment of emotional healing. It's a fantastic opportunity for closure. Pisces is the last sign of the zodiac, so it's got an affinity with endings and death cycles and releasing, forgiveness, reconciliation, compassion, empathy. So all of these energies are a little easier to access over the next 4 months. And not only that, but Pisces is a mutable energy. So I always enjoy when the sun is in a mutable sign because things change. It feels like any stagnation that we've been experiencing kind of lifts. And anytime we're dealing with mutable energy, solar mutable energy specifically, it just feels as though there's a little more potential, there's a little more swift change. So again, if you've been feeling like energy hasn't been flowing in any one area of your life where you've been looking and or hoping for developments, I'm hoping and thinking that that could lift for you throughout Pisces season, which again starts early this year on Friday the 18th. Now on Wednesday the 23rd, we have another exact aspect. So we have Mars sextile Neptune. So Neptune is in Pisces, Mars is still in Capricorn. And I really like a Mars Neptune sextile. So Mars is so action oriented and embodied, whereas Neptune is very ethereal and ambiguous. And so the two planets have sort of a natural antithetical relationship, and they feel like antithetical aspects of our nature. So when they're forming a harmonious aspect, whether it's a trine or a sextile, we're more easily able to access a more inspired, divinely guided action, sort of action, I should say. So, you know, our actions feel a little bit more, as I said, just divinely guided, or we're more able to effectively access our higher self's opinion if you're trying to make a decision over the course of the next week or around the time of the 23rd. It's a really good idea to pull tarot cards on it or to just allow yourself to sit in silence and kind of create the space for the answers to come to you because, inspired action is just more easy for us to undergo around the time of the 23rd when we have the Mars-Neptune sextile. It's also just a really good time for, you know, graceful, artistic embodiment of your values. And it's more specifically a good time for anything that kind of combines Mars movement and physicality with Neptune's love of romance and beauty and art. So dancing, yoga, any sort of movement practice that kind of has an element of embodied spirituality is really satisfying and favorable around the time of the 23rd. And now there is a Scorpio moon on the 23rd as well, which can always make us a little hypersensitive and bring some intensity. Not that that's a bad thing necessarily, but should it become a little bit unpleasant, then really lean into the more harmonious aspect of the day And again, turn to like your art form or your spirituality practice, which should provide a strong amount of comfort around the time of the 23rd. Also, spirituality becomes just easier to access, right? Like with a Mars-Neptune synergy, we don't even necessarily need the tarot cards. It's a great time to turn to your divination tool or spiritual practice of choice. But it's really a time where we can find ourselves feeling really connected to the divine while we're on a walk through our neighborhood or even at the grocery store. So we're just kind of prone to sort of sudden moments of feeling connected to something larger than ourselves in really practical, embodied, down-to-earth ways, which is, again, what I love about this particular aspect. So then also happening on the 23rd is Mercury returns to 10 degrees of Aquarius, which is where Mercury initially stationed retrograde a couple months ago, or about a month ago, I should say. So that means that Mercury is officially out of the shadow zone period, which, you know, again, I'm not one of those astrologers that thinks or teaches that after Mercury stations direct, there's still like a retrograde effect that happens until Mercury exits the shadow zone, because I think that really the essential lift and the return to a sense of like, okay, like things feel like blockages are dissolving and it's time to move forward. I think that that does happen pretty much around the time that Mercury stations direct, although he is known to seek out one last laugh around the time that he stations direct. But once we reach the period at which Mercury is officially out of the shadow zone, it's really a time where we start to reap the benefits of any work that we did during the retrograde. So again, retrogrades are nothing to fear, even though Mercury retrograde in particular has a really bad reputation in pop culture. It's a time where we actually benefit if we embrace the energies of contemplation and reflection. And, you know, we can actually use it to kind of tie up any loose ends, reach out to people that we haven't had closure with or not. I mean, often feeling a sense of inner closure doesn't require us to reach out to other people. We can usually cultivate that within ourselves. And all of that is the invitation of Mercury retrograde. So if we did that works, and you know, I do love the period of time between Mercury's station direct and Mercury returning or exiting the shadow zone, because that's kind of the best of both worlds. So we still have this sense of, I have this opportunity to really kind of tie up my loose ends and allow these cycles to come to a close. But I can also kind of start to move forward with new projects, or not that you can't do that when Mercury is retrograde, but there's really a sense of like, okay, it's time. But then now, again, like there's not a lot of work to be done, but it's just that around the 23rd, we can usually start to see or might start to see some movement, some developments, and some healing or some sort of an affirmation that really allows us to identify the growth that we've underwent over the last month when Mercury was retrograde. So I'm really kind of looking forward to that date. It's been on my calendar for a while. And we can, yeah, just expect to experience the retrograde as in the rearview mirror, and hopefully we can move forward with the new wisdom that we've cultivated from the experience. Now, on Thursday the 24th, we have a couple of aspects happening. So we have an exact Mercury Chiron sextile, which we had prior, because Mercury obviously, again, went retrograde. So Mercury did sextile Chiron before the retrograde, and now he is once again forming a sextile to the Wounded Healer. And Mercury sextile Chiron is a very wonderful day to be in sales. It's an excellent day to give a presentation. It's an excellent day to share a perspective or try to, you know, if you have to persuade someone of something in like a professional situation, this is a really good opportunity to do that. It's basically just a good day to convey meaning. So it's also a powerful day for writers or communicators. So a small influence, but definitely a beneficial one nonetheless. We also have a Venus-Neptune sextile, which is really exciting. So when Venus and Neptune sextile, again, I mean, these planets have kind of a natural affinity already. They're kind of two of the more dreamy, sensual, romantic, intimate planets. So when they synergize, romance and art become especially therapeutic to us. So around the time of the 24th, you can expect, and again, we do have just that Mars-Venus conjunction looming as well. So around the 24th is a really powerful time to be thinking about romance and to be seeking out intimacy, deeper intimacy, if you're already in a committed union with someone that feels really fulfilling. Exploring new depths is going to be really healing around the time of the 24th. And again, if you are dating, the 24th is a good time to try to bring any sort of fleeting relationships or new relationships that you're not really sure if they're going to go the long haul. It's a good time to sort of just explore the substance, or if there is substance. It's also a fantastic time for creativity. So whether you're a creator yourself, which I think we're all creators, so whatever your unique art form is, the time of the 24th is a day that you'll likely feel yourself particularly inspired or moved to create art. And it's also a powerful time to consume art. So listening to music can be especially therapeutic and healing today. Watching movies, if you're really, you know, in love with cinema, or physically looking at art, anything that usually speaks to your soul is going to especially so around the time of the 24th. Now, the one contact that we have that's like a little bit iffy on the 24th is we do have a Mercury square to Uranus. And this is a fixed square. So Uranus is in Taurus, which is a fixed earth sign, and Mercury is in Aquarius, which is a fixed air sign. And whenever we have a fixed square, that's like a little bit more tense, because a square already is just, you know, a hard angle between two planets. But when each planet is in a fixed sign, neither really wants to budge. So not only are they at odds, but they're not really willing to compromise. However, I love both of these planets, and really even if there's a hard aspect between Mercury and Uranus, they just sort of have a natural affinity. One of my favorite astrologers, Mystic Medusa, who's an Australian-based astrologer, she always likes to say that Uranus is almost like a higher octave version of Mercury, and I really like that way of connecting the two planets. To me, that really makes sense, and I very much agree. And so, again, even a hard aspect between them is kind of fun. It's destabilizing, though. So that's the thing. And anytime we have a hard Uranus aspect to any planet, any other planet, it's destabilizing, which can be upsetting and disruptive, but it's totally not a bad thing. It's not even necessarily unpleasant. So the main thing is that, you know, around the time of the 24th, you're likely to experience a swift mental upgrade or sudden recalibration, whether it's a perspective or an old story. Suddenly you realize how irrelevant it is and you decide to change. And obviously that can actually be really pleasant. It's always long-term beneficial, but sometimes, again, it can just leave us feeling a little bit destabilized. Of course, you know, when we realize an old way of thinking is no longer relevant, it can be a little bit confusing, maybe even a little bit upsetting. So that could happen around the time of the 24th. But, you know, the benefits of a Mercury Uranus square are much stronger than any discomfort which may also arise. Again, like, who doesn't love a nice, swift mental recalibration, right? And not only that, but there's a lot of creative potential too with a Mercury-Uranus square, especially in the quirky genius sign of Aquarius. I love Mercury in Aquarius. It's a really strong, mad genius inventor vibe. It's a really innovative, expansive sign for Mercury to be moving through. And then I also really enjoy Uranus in Taurus too, because Taurus really grounds the planet Uranus, which could use a little bit of grounding. So, and then, you know, again, it's interesting that Mercury is in Aquarius, which is the sign that Uranus rules. So there's just a lot of harmonious energy, despite the fact that it is a square. There's going to be a lot of creative potential and a lot of mental upgrades. But again, it could have a destabilizing effect on our psyche and our relationships, because again, you know, relationships where one party doesn't feel they're allowed to change can especially, I don't want to say suffer, but face conflict when we're having collectively a hard Uranus aspect, because Uranus changes us, and it changes us fast. Uranus energy is a eureka moment. It's a swift recalibration or upgrade that we can't undo even if we wanted to. We are simply different after it. And again, you know, this is a big aspect. It's not happening natally to any one person, but it's something that we're all moving through. And so, you know, it can scare other people when we change. And so relationships where it's clear that both parties are allowed to evolve every day usually aren't like dramatically destabilized by even a natal Uranus transit, but a Uranus collective aspect, likewise, it is not likely to like rock your socks off necessarily, but it can destabilize, again, just specifically those relationships or you know, even if you tend to hold yourself to a standard and it upsets you to see yourself change, because some people are that way as well, they can just struggle with this a little bit. But as long as we're giving ourselves and our loved ones space to be themselves, to grow and evolve every day, then it's a fun transit with quirky, cool side effects. So really, nothing to fear. The 24th has a lot of interesting activities, so I'm looking forward to that week. And now on Monday the 28th, we have kind of an interesting moment of the Mars-Venus conjunction, which is at play all month. But this is really a date to mark on your calendar if you're hoping to manifest love. So Venus and Mars sextile the South Node and trine the North Node. So again, you know, the nodes respectively are in Scorpio and Taurus. And Venus and Mars are currently in Capricorn. So we have an Earth trine happening between the North Node and the Venus-Mars conjunction. And then we have that nice little harmonious sextile happening with even the South Node and Venus and Mars. So this really activates destiny themes again, and it's like kind of fated love. So I don't know, predictive astrology really isn't my jam, but if you are actively dating, if you've set intentions around the time of the full moon for a new relationship to come in, the 28th could be a day where you meet someone in a really like total synchronicity kind of way, like a chance run-in or, you know, something that just feels really fated or categorically unlikely, but it happens. So to really capitalize on that energy, I recommend carrying a green aventurine, which you can purchase through me. Green aventurine is a really powerful stone, especially when carried or worked with in conjunction with some love drawing stones like rose quartz or mangano calcite or rhodochrosite. It really helps to sort of magnetize those kinds of fated meetings and chance meetings. So that's really possible around the time of the 28th. So that's something to sort of think about and maybe even set intentions around if that's something that you are hoping for. Now, I just want to offer some crystal recommendations specifically for working with the full moon in Leo. So Sunstone, first of all, is a really powerful crystal talisman for the full moon in Leo. So it's a powerful stone for leadership. It's a powerful stone for authenticity and radiance. And it really just helps one to be a little more confident, to feel worthy of the things they desire. Other stones that are powerful for that are pyrite, which is also a really powerful tool for manifestation. And citrine is, again, a really good solar plexus stone that just helps us to feel worthy, to feel radiant, to feel in control and powerful. And it really just amplifies that will and our ability to sort of create our reality. And then I also like to recommend lapis lazuli for the full moon in Leo, because this is the queen stone. It was one of Cleopatra's absolute favorite stones. She actually put she blocked off the access to the lapis lazuli mines when she was in power in ancient Egypt, because she alone wanted access to the magical stone. She would grind it up and put it in her eyeshadow. And this is really a stone that she attributed a lot of her personal power to. So it's a stone of sovereignty. It's a stone of leadership. And it's a stone that allows us to feel regal when we wear it or work with it. So again, with Leo energy, we're really accessing our queen, king, leader vibe, which this stone can really support and help us with. And then I also like to recommend chrysocolla around the time of the Leo full moon, actually another favorite stone of Cleopatra's, coincidentally, but not necessarily because it capitalizes on the Leo energy, but because it actually sort of helps to mitigate some of the side effects. So again, you know, when we have a Leo full moon, especially with some of the other astro in play, there becomes a greater possibility of interpersonal conflict. And so chrysocolla is a powerful stone for relationship stabilization and diplomacy. And obviously, you know, it's not a bad thing at all to have a really well-developed ego and a strong sense of leadership and worthiness, which is what all the other crystals I just recommend are to do. But it's really nice to balance a combination like that with something like chrysocolla, which allows our delivery to be eloquent and articulate, and our overall vibe to be not necessarily just so assertive or rooted in our ego desire to be, you know, to have the attention or to be in charge. But it just sort of balances us out and helps us to be a little bit aligned to, you know, the desire to have relationships that are satisfying, because sometimes those desires can feel at odds. Aquamarine, too, is also another really good stone to throw into this combination, because it just grounds us into the larger desire to do well for humanity or for the group, obviously, if we're looking at it more microcosmically. You know, we all know that leader that just likes to be in charge and tell people what to do. And then we know that leader that is really embodied and really powerful and magnetic because they believe in themselves, but they also are ultimately grounded in the larger vision and the wellness of the people that they're holding the container for. So that's really what Leo energy is about. And so, you know, working with this combination of crystals can really help to make the most of this particular full moon in Leo, which is active all week. Again, it's also a really good time, though, to work with love drawing crystals of your choice. So rose quartz is excellent for just magnetizing love-filled interactions, especially if you don't have a clear romantic goal in mind necessarily, but you really just want more love, more kindness, more connection. Hold on, I'm just going to take a drink of water here real quick. And I also really like to recommend rhodochrosite for manifesting love as well. I actually think it's a little bit more effective even than rose quartz, particularly if you're trying to manifest, you know, a full-on relationship. Ruby is a powerful talisman for a fiery kind of sexual erotic love situation, and garnet is really good for manifesting that as well. I also really like orange calcite too for stimulating the libido. Serpentine is excellent for encouraging like sexual reawakening. So these are all stone talismans that I would recommend for the Leo full moon. Now, the tarot card that I pulled for us for today is Justice, which is a big one. So anytime we're working with the energy of justice, there's usually kind of one of two things. So first of all, it's an opportunity to restore balance. And it's often an opportunity for some sort of a correction to occur. So when we pull justice, this is one of those cards like the Wheel of Fortune, where there's simply forces at play in our lives at the time that we pull it that are bigger than us. And the Hanged Man, I would say, is similar to this as well. A lot of the major arcanas, honestly, indicate that there are just forces bigger than us at play, but some more than others. And like those three cards, Temperance also. So when we pull justice, whether we know it or not, or feel it or not, everything is kind of meant to be in that moment. So like nothing is here on accident. And, you know, again, when we pull justice, if things in our lives have been feeling chaotic or just off or out of balance, or as though there's something that needs to be corrected, there's something that's just glaringly becoming unbalanced or it's not working. A lot of times when we pull justice, we can have some sort of a correction that just happens. And again, like a lot of the time, we can't always just fix our immediate environment. Like obviously we can control ourselves. We can change our perspective and we can absolutely dictate certain aspects of our surroundings, like who we want around us and the environments we want to place ourselves in. But justice reminds us that we can't always, obviously, control our circumstances. We know this, even as magical people. So when we pull justice, it's kind of a reminder that even if there's not a correction that sort of happens for you this week, where circumstances that just feel off are swiftly, you know, go away in some magical way, which really can happen with this card. If that doesn't happen, then this card really asks us to consider that whatever is here with us right now, whoever is here with us right now, is on some level like meant to be in some strange way. And I know that that can sound shitty and frustrating. And I obviously don't mean that with regard to like whatever really extreme circumstances you may be going through. But I am talking about your annoying neighbor. I am talking about the coworker that makes you want to pull your hair out. I am talking about the annoying pain in your knee. If there's anything in your life that just seems like, okay, I'm not learning from this. I don't know why this is here. Like, it's annoying me. It's distracting. It just feels like something that should just go away. If it's not going away right now around the time of the Leo full moon, then we're really being asked to look at it. So a lot of times, again, there's like this urge to either just kind of fix it or ignore it if we can't fix it. But justice really wants us to kind of look at our situation. It's a reality check, but it's a self-imposed reality check. So really, the Leo full moon is a powerful time to journal, to take stock of your life as it stands right now, and take radical responsibility if necessary for the way that it looks. And not to say that, you know, the pain in your knee or whatever else it could be going on is your fault or even your doing in any way, even if indirectly. That's not what I'm saying at all. But sometimes it is in the way, for example, of interpersonal conflict. Even if you're contributing, you know, in a really indirect way, relationships are a feedback loop. And so often people are, you know, rarely shitty for absolutely no reason. You know, it does happen where people are just kind of energetic assailants and they do have, you know, outbursts. That does happen, absolutely. But it's pretty rare. And so usually if someone is, especially if it's like more than one person, if we're getting kind of a negative feedback loop, there could be something, even if it's on the inside that we don't think we're expressing, that we are giving off that is then kind of giving us this feedback loop that's not super satisfying. So that's one example. But again, you know, your situation could be something else that's even a little more out of your control, like trying to manifest something that's just not here yet. Whatever it is that's going on, whatever your unique set of circumstances are right now, justice is really just asking you to sit with it. And if you can't change it, and if it doesn't go away on its own at this time, to find some level of trust that it is here, not to teach you something, because I hate that saying, but it's just here. It's here, and it's maybe a good idea to look at it and take stock and see why it's here, explore it, ask it for tea, see what it wants. It's just kind of what it is. It's not always necessarily the most fun or sexy card to move through, but it is a card that really just asks us to become highly attuned to our reality, to what is going on. Because if we're not, we can't change it, right? Like, we can't make magic and manifest if we're not clear and connected to what's actually going on. And also, by the way, this isn't necessarily external, it could also be internal. Like, maybe you have a feeling that you've been trying to suppress, but it hasn't gone away, and you keep trying to suppress it, but the Leo full moon is really drawing it out. Justice is kind of asking you, if it doesn't just sort of work itself out like you've been assuming it might, which maybe it will, Justice is asking you to kind of look at that and maybe even allow it to express itself and see what happens. So it's kind of a vague card. I can't get more specific than that because it's going to affect each and every one of us so differently. But that's kind of the vibe of the Leo full moon, like getting really clear with our immediate circumstances and our reality and not hiding from it, not creating stories that, you know, confuse it or remove us from it, but just getting really, really clear with what is actually factually here with us and you know, really facing it and asking what it wants and finding a way to make it work for and with us and not just, you know, that we're a slave to it or that it's happening to us. So that is it. That is the verbal newsletter for the Leo full moon. That's pretty much everything. So once again, before I let you go, I just want to say to feel free to send me an email with any questions, comments pertaining to this episode, or if you have ideas for a future episode or questions, I'm extremely open to those. Also, if you want to subscribe to my bi-weekly newsletter, I will post the link in the description of this episode so that you can just click on that and be able to get yourself on my mailing list so that you get my newsletter twice a month, 2 to 3 times a month. And if you have trouble with the link, by the way, just send me an email because I have had some people tell me that they've struggled with that. So just send me an email with the email address you'd like to subscribe and I can subscribe you myself if you're not able to get the link to work, but hopefully you are. And that's pretty much it. So I actually have one more thing that I want to say. I'm thinking, and I have an idea for this podcast, specifically this year and with this new season, that it would be really fun to do like astrology kind of readings on the show. I don't know. I don't know if I can make that work. I don't know if that's something that you guys would enjoy. But let me know about that too. Like, is that something that you would like? And also, if you would be willing to get a reading from me on the show, you can let me know and send me your birth chart information. And specifically, I would ask that you provide some sort of questions or contact, something that you would like for me to talk about, just so I have, you know, something to respond to should I choose you. And again, this is down the line. We may not even do it, but I'm just curious. I'm putting it out there because I feel like that could be fun. And I think that this is something that this community might enjoy. So putting that out. So let me know what you think about that and subscribe to my newsletter and take care of yourself. Be well, enjoy the full moon in Leo. And I hopefully will talk to you very soon. If not here, then in the newsletter. So take care until then and enjoy the rest of your night. Thank you so much for your time and for being here.